I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome, everybody, to Lesson 44 of Soul School. It is so good to have you listening today. August has been an interesting month for me, and I've been really battling illness, and you might notice my voice is a little different. And so I apologize for that. I want to join with you today and share something from a book I'm really enjoying reading. But before I do that, I wanted to just extend my personal thanks to all the people who've come along and encouraged me, so gracious in their kind words, in sharing my tweets and saying things that they're enjoying about the show and financially supporting me, and also writing reviews on iTunes. All those things that you've been doing to help the show have meant so much to me and have helped other people find the show and get a lot out of it. It's just a beautiful thing we have going on. I feel like it's a love fest, and it just warmed my heart. And I'm going to be speaking about love today on Soul School. Really, I'm going to be reading about it. And I found this passage in the book I'm reading, and I just had to share it with you because I thought it was so helpful. And so I'll get into that right now. The book I'm reading is by a person I just very much admire. I've gained a lot of wisdom from over the years and followed her since her program on NPR called Speaking of Faith. It's Krista Tippett, personal hero of mine, basically the reason why I decided to try podcasting in the first place. And Krista Tippett, if you don't know her, she got her start in Oklahoma as a child. She grew up in Oklahoma and was influenced greatly by her grandfather, who was a fiery Southern Baptist minister. And she went off to Brown and sort of left those things of religion on pause for a while. And later on, worked in Divided Berlin. And she goes into quite a lot of this quite personally in her newest book called Becoming Wise, An Inquiry into the Mystery and Art of Living. Most recently, she has done the podcast for syndicated by NPR called On Being. It's done extremely well, and she personally has won a Peabody Award, and she's been a New York Times best-selling author. And in 2014, she received a National Humanities Medal at the White House for, quote, thoughtfully delving into the mysteries of the human experience. And she's been able to interview famous world leaders and spiritual leaders, as well as scientists and authors and poets and all sorts of people doing fascinating work in the world. In this latest book, she pulled a lot of these gems of wisdom she's gathered along the way, as well as a lot of her own personal story and reflections. Fantastic book. I would just run out immediately and get a copy. But I wanted to pull out just a little excerpt to read to you and then reflect a little bit of my own thoughts for Soul School today. And I think you're going to find this really interesting. In the chapter called Love, it's on page 107, Krista talks a little bit about her marriage and falling in love and this kind of dramatic, romantic, idealized love that she encountered, and that the strength of the nuclear family as just this tiny little unit separated from others in a family isn't really strong at all. It doesn't really stand up against the buffets of modern life very well. It doesn't really have this standing power. I think a lot of people don't really understand that modern life is so, you know, I agree that the modern family has a lot of struggles and stresses in the modern world, but yet this tiny nuclear family has a really hard time and very shallow roots to deal with some of these stressors that families of the past that go back generations can hold the family together and create deeper roots and deeper substantial emotional structure for all the members of the family, whereas a nuclear family just out on its own, geographically speaking, emotionally speaking, is much more set up for failure and duress. And so Krista goes into that in her book, but I love this section that I want to read to you. And she says it like this, page 107. and her book is by Penguin Press. It's already a bestseller. When my marriage ended, I walked into a parallel universe that had been there all along. I became one of the modern multitudes of walking wounded in the wreckage of long-term love. Strangest of all, on this planet, is the way we continue to idealize romantic love and crave it for completion. To follow those love songs and those movies. After my divorce, I created a welcoming home and took great delight in my children. I cooked dinner for gatherings of friends, old and new, invested in beautiful, far-flung friendships, and drew vast sustenance from webs of care through the work I do. Yet I told myself for years that I had a hole in my life where, quote, love, unquote, should be. This is the opposite of a healing story. It's a story that perceives scarcity in the midst of abundance. I have love in my life, many forms of loving. As I settled into singleness, I grew saner, kinder, more generous, more loving in untheatrical, everyday ways. I can't name the day when I suddenly realized that the lack of love in my life was not a reality, but a poverty of imagination and a carelessly narrow way of an essential word. And here is another deeper carelessness, which I'm absolving in a spirit of adventure. I come to understand that for most of my life, when I was looking for love, I was looking to be loved. In this, I am a prism of my world. I am a novice at love in all its fullness, a beginner. The intention to walk through the world practicing love across relationships and encounters feels like a great frontier. I just love that. Her whole book is full of this sort of writing. It's so beautiful. And if you get a copy, you'll be delighted to read it as well. As I reflect on that, I think about how we idealize love, and we might look for this one love or this one great fulfilling love of a lifetime. And some of us may have thought we found that love of a lifetime in a spouse or a romantic significant other. If it feels hollow or less than perfect, we might feel like we made a mistake. Or if we feel like we haven't found that person and we feel lonely and single and that person isn't there, or that person is out there somewhere, or we have a crush on a person out there somewhere, we might feel very empty. And I think that that excellent point that Krista points out is that there is a rich fullness that we can have, and our poverty of imagination keeps us from experiencing such a vibrancy in our life. And really holding that ideal out there doesn't do us any favors. In fact, it's really a fictitious ideal because it's fantasy. And real love happens all around in so many different full ways. And I wonder if we are living impoverished lives but surrounded in abundance and opportunity to experience love in all sorts of full ways, but just are not realizing it. That is the charge and the homework and the challenge this week on Soul School as I do. I want you to have the opportunity to add some wealth to your imagination, to look in your life to see what kind of abundance of love you can find right around you. Maybe it's creating a meal for someone that you know, but you don't know them too well, and you could have a meal together with a few friends or just a few neighbors or a few people who might also feel that they don't have enough abundance of love in their life. Or maybe it's somebody you could meet at a library or do a project together, like rake leaves or weed their front yard or something like that. But there's all sorts of ways we can join with people who maybe they're never going to be our significant other or the love of our lives. But there's a richness to how we love each other that brings the same sort of abundance and the same richness of love. And I think when we idolize romantic love, it will take away and impoverish us to all the rest of the sorts of connections and wonder that's available to us right at our fingertips. It isn't really romantic love that makes the world go round. It's connection. The deep, fulfilling connection of just being seen and being known. Of course, romantic love, like you see in the movies, feels great if you ever encounter it, but it isn't something that stays intact. It waxes and wanes, and you can't sustain it. You can only sustain connection through a lot of diligence and hard work. And it's the mundane parts of it that discourage people. And it's the mundane parts of it that throw people off course and they wonder what they've done wrong. And so if you're in a place where you don't have someone in your life that you sleep next to and that you can't rekindle something, know that there's lots of ways for connection and fullness of love and connection out there for you. It's nearby. It's nearer than you think. So look around and open your eyes and open your imagination to it. And I hope and pray that you'll be blessed by unleashing your imagination for this world of love. I hope to see you next Wednesday for another Soul School and come back Friday for a guest interview with Tad DeLay. We are not related, but you will really enjoy that one. Thank you so much for listening.
Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too. Please stop by and check it out.